Hello and welcome to your Rate My League preview show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Adam Zekas, a.k.a. Sticky Z. We have Golden Empire today, standard scoring Dynasty 12-teamer. And Rob bought the show, so thank you so much to Rob for getting this set up. Adam, we like to break the ice with leagues out there, and this year we're going to break the ice. I found a website that has 160 first date questions. So clearly that's the route we have to go, and this is the 61st show of the season. Believe it or not, we're up to show 61, so I'm going to go with question number 61 here. How did you come to love your... How did you come to love one of your favorite musicians? Not what the musician is, but how did you come to love that musician?
Love them, huh? Oh boy, that's actually really hard.
I can go first if you need time to think.
Yeah. I came up with it, but you go ahead.
So my favorite band, if someone asked me what my favorite band was, I'd probably say The National, because I'm an indie snob like that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I used to host a radio show at my college radio station, a rock show. And I played The National on my rock show multiple times. And just, you know, I would always just play whatever was new at the time. And it really didn't register with me. And then I came back years later and fell in love with their album Boxer, and then ended up falling in love with their whole catalog, really. And then it struck me that I had played them back in college, and I didn't even know it. So how about that? The first time you hear a band you love, you didn't even know it.
That's pretty good. I mean, I would say, like, if you look statistically, my favorite band is Death Cab for Cutie, so in the indie genre. But, like, I think I have a good story. Like, Bon Iver, I, like, heard about before. Mm-hmm. They were, like, huge, and I was like, oh, my God, this guy, like, went into a cabin in the woods and recorded a whole album about a breakup, and it's amazing, and it's so real and raw. And I used to listen to Fall Asleep every single night for, like, a year and a half. And, like, just, like, the same – I'll get to, like, song 4 or 5, and I'd be asleep. Mm. So if you look at, like, my last FM that, like, I've been scrabbling my music since, like, 2007, it's, like, my top played tracks.
Oh, cool.
So, like – but, like, I knew – that's my big – not claim the fame, but, like, I was listening to them, like, maybe even, like, 6 months before they absolutely blew up and, like, kind of indie blew up, like, with them.
It's sort of in the same vein, sort of. I ended up seeing Leon Bridges – in a very small, it was like his first tour of the U.S. in a very small place in Philly. It was like a midnight show, and it was crazy. It was so packed. He had just started to like take off, but he really wasn't big. So we're playing in a venue that must have been like 75 people. Kind of crazy. Anyway, we have a lot to get to this year, though.
Real fast, he has a very good EP with Krongbin, who's
amazing. So good.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay.
This year, Rate My League is proudly partnered with 4for4, home of the most accurate player rankings since 2010. As we all know, the difference between winning and losing can easily come down to start-sit decisions. Using 4for4's weekly projections, you can tip the scale in your favor and add to your win columns. Additionally, 4for4's League Sync will automatically provide you with personalized advice every single week. Use the promo code RateMyLeague for 25% off your subscription. It's a great way to support Rate My League and, you know, help yourself at the same time. The promo code RateMyLeague at 4for4. That's the number 4, F-O-R, the number 4.com. So Rob wrote in, said it's their fifth season for the league, and mostly standard scoring, none of that PPR silliness. As Rob knows, he and I are two peas in a pod when it comes to our, well, his is more outright disdain. I would say I have a secret dislike of PPR. So we both go with our standard scoring systems, although mine is a little bit crazier, I will say that. Anyway, 6-point passing touchdowns here, 1 point for combined yards for quarterback, 1 point combined yards for the other positions, and of course we have IDP here, which is why Adam, you are here. Mm-hmm. So it's standard scoring, I guess, or sort of it's not balanced IDP here. I would say it's a little bit subdued IDP, 1 point per tackle. And the other note, we have two teams, the Maulers and the Pugs, that have new managers this season. They took over weak teams, so I guess we have to be nice to them or something. I don't know. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good. I'm ready to go. You know, personally, this is like very out there meta, but to me, I think a 0-yard catch has value.
Yeah, well, I think no.
I'm not saying it should be a point.
We've had this discussion before. Like, we don't see eye to eye on this, and it's fine. Yeah. I am very much in the I read Football Outsiders a lot, and they have a stat like DVOA, mm-hmm. and the whole idea is opportunity cost, not opportunity benefit or opportunity reward. So to me, it's what you do with your opportunities, and because it's about efficiency, and it's about what you do with the chances that you have. So my scoring system actually takes points away for receptions and pass attempts and rushes, which is a little extreme. I know some people get mad at me when I say stuff like that, but it is what it is. I don't know. We have one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, one kicker, and three flexes. No super flex here, but three flexes for offense. And then we have one DL, one LB, one DB, and one IDP flex. And with that, two divisions, West and East, we're going to go ahead here. They know how it works. Number 12, I suck from the East Division. This is the dead last team in the East Division, obviously. And Adam, the moniker sticks. The moniker sticks. This is the league worst roster, number 12, dead last in both total and starter redraft value. They do gain a smidgen of dynasty value here. In fact, it's enough to move them up to number 11 in the dynasty rankings. A lot of that is because of Breece Hall. Their number one overall selection, Breece Hall. He gains a lot of dynasty value. AJ Brown does as well. Other than that, the roster itself is extremely lacking on the offensive side of the ball. Every single position here in the bottom two in the league. So, Adam, I have to give you the hard questions. So here's the hard question. What do you actually like about this roster outside of Breece Hall?
I mean, even then, I just don't think that like squares up at all, really, with the roster. Talking about, you know, the 10th. Worst wide receiver position. I don't know. You should be at. I mean, I know you had 101, right? Obviously, you can't always move down, but maybe that's someone you want to even look to flip for, like someone like a Drake London or Treylon Burke, someone that you can actually kind of maybe get a chance at building around a wide receiver, just because those players are going to last longer. Right when this team is going to want to, maybe they hit some good picks coming in the future. Maybe they start doing well. Right when this team is going to start to be competitive, Breece Hall is going to be like looking at a second contract, in 4 years, and you know the chance of most right running backs getting that second contract is pretty low. So you either need him to be an absolute stud for a good amount of time, or it's kind of a wasted pick, I think, to me.
Yeah, I mean, this league certainly has some trades, so I wouldn't be shocked if Breece Hall could be traded. That said, what else are you going to do at one? Obviously, the idea is either trade down or take Breece Hall. I don't think you can. We've certainly seen leagues where Drake London goes at one. I've seen a league where Treylon Burks goes at one. I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to go. Hall is definitely the consensus number one pick, but I agree. Like, it does pose a problem because this roster, it's not good enough. There's nothing here. I mean,
yeah, I liked AJ Brown. I mean, he's younger, I think, than people give him credit for because of some of the injuries he's had. He's only 25. Mm-hmm. He will be 25 going into the season. So that is definitely someone who, you know, value is going up. They looking like could be like one of the top flight wide receivers, maybe if this year kind of pans out in terms of like PPR, in terms of volume and good value from him, not a PPR league, but I don't think that really actually matters too much for AJ Brown. I see him more as.
It helps. I mean, he's a better.
Yes.
Because he's not a high volume guy, he's an efficient player. It helps his value a little bit, which is why he's wide receiver 10 in standard scoring here. But you also see, I mean, to sort of buttress your point a little bit, you see Josh Jacobs here. I don't know if Jacobs has been here since he was a rookie, but you don't want to see Breece Hall take the same path that Josh Jacobs has taken, who was, you know, in one quarterback. I think Josh Jacobs might have been the consensus. Was he the consensus number one? I think he was.
I think so, yeah.
Unless there was a wide receiver, I'm forgetting. So you don't want to see him sort of dwindle down to what he is now, which is, you know, Josh Jacobs is running back 22. He's not really moving the needle for teams. And I think that is a concern with Breece Hall. That said, I am much higher on Breece Hall this year than I was on Josh Jacobs when he came out. I'm a big, you know, speed score guy. I'm a big Football Outsiders analytics guy, and all of those metrics really like Breece Hall. Not quite as high as Jonathan Taylor, but the closest we've seen to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, and I like the Zamir White pick too. Obviously, that gives you a little bit of insulation to Josh Jacobs. Plus, I think in his own right, Zamir White's a good player.
Yep.
And, you know, if they decide, hey, we don't want to give Josh Jacobs another contract, you know, he hasn't really been great. I mean, he hasn't been amazing for us. He's been consistent because he hasn't really had injuries. which is pretty much all you need to be a fringe RB1 in fantasy football. But, you know, I think – so I like the Zamir White pick 201 in a, you know, non-PPR one quarterback league. I think that's smart pick, not having the draft in front of me, but I think that's probably a pretty good pick.
What about IDP here? Obviously, it's not going to move the needle a ton, but what do you see?
Yeah, so for this kind of scoring setup, I really want, you know, either I want to go two ways about it. Either I want to have an absolute stud at the position, at every single position, just one of these positions, just to kind of get that starter out there. And then, you know, you can go from there, or literally just eject it into the sun. Like, I don't care what's going on here, whatever. This setup, we have him ranked ninth. I think it's pretty decent. I guess maybe I'm a little bit higher on Jonathan Abram. It does suck Max Crosby as a linebacker. I don't know if that's just sort of the import, but Max Crosby being a linebacker.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's CBS or if that might be. Right. I just don't know how CBS NFL. Carries it. Yeah. I don't know.
So if Max Crosby, Khalil Mack, and Azeez Ojulari are outside line or edge players, defensive end, DL, whatever, then I think you're in pretty good shape. I think just having the Malcolm Davis plenty. So it's a decent group there. I don't know, like drafting Jordan Davis. I love Jordan Davis. I think he's a great player. I just, in this format, like I know we're talking about the fifth round in a 12-team league, but I don't need. I'll take like practice squad players, I think, at offense. Well, just because you never know.
As we'll see, a lot of free agents were also available, so some free agents went as well. Worth noting, this team is number 2 in future draft capital, but that's just because we're using dynamic draft pick valuation this year. The fact that this team is dead last in redraft value, all of their picks are more valuable, so it's not very good. They have any extra picks there. 4.06 is the team score. They get the freshman sticker, tied for most rookie starters. The RML proved this is actually the RML staff's highest ranked team versus consensus. We still have them ranked dead last, so congratulations for that. The Matt Rule's dream, worst rated quarterback position. The soggy bottom, worst rated tight end position, but we'll play this one, the misconduct sticker.
Hello everyone, retired NFL ref Gene Steratore. I've got to let you guys know, I know an awful lot about violations and misconduct, and you topped the scale bar none. Your efforts were horrific. Your picks were out of nowhere and had no meaning behind them. It seems like you just put a blindfold on and threw darts at a board, so there is only one way for you to go, and that's up.
That's right. We got retired NFL referee Gene Steratore to personally insult iSuck's team, although they're doing a pretty good job of insulting themselves. Anyway, number 11, Birmingham Blitz from the West Division. This is the number 6 team in the West. I did peek ahead. Very even division distribution here, where we're going to see the teams sort of go back and forth a little bit. So it's nice. Sometimes we get leagues where the divisions are very lopsided and it seems a little wonky, but not the case here. This team did go 6-8 last year. Unfortunately, it's not looking like a 6-8 roster exactly. I mean, that might be pushing the ceiling for what this team can do. Now number 11 in total and starter redraft value. When you look position by position here, another team where, you know, wide receiver, dead last, tight end, 11th out of 12. The one spot that does have some momentum, some optimism for 2022 is running back, where they're number 6. Adam, the obvious thing, we just talked about it with Breece Hall, if you're going to be a bad team, running back is usually not where you want to be okay at.
Yeah, I agree, especially, in sort of just the non-PPR, the standard scoring, the one quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. I actually like Devin Singletary a little bit better than most. Being deep is good if possible. It can be tough in a 12-team league and sort of this setup, again, where everyone's going to probably have one good running back. You're not going to get a lot of people who are kind of punting it for wide receiver, really, and kind of this setup. So what they have here, obviously not super deep, but I think they've got a good starter group. Like, we have them 3 as starters, so I think that's a fine setup to kind of get started. But we have them overall the rank 11 redraft. So obviously, it's not really enough to kind of push you forward when you've got the worst wide receiver group in the league and second worst tight end group.
Yeah, and injuries are going to play a big role for this wide receiver group right now. Chris Godwin is going to be out. I was just listening to a podcast with Stefania Bell. I don't know if you're aware of her work, but she's, like an injury specialist with ESPN. She does some good stuff. She was making the case that I've kind of been making a lot this preseason, which is the Bucs don't really care that much about the regular season. So why are they going to rush Chris Godwin back from a relatively serious knee injury just so he can get back on the field at the bare minimum amount of time.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah, it's just four weeks into the season, 6 weeks into the season, unless the Bucks are really struggling, unless the Bucks are like a two-win team or three-win team, like 6 or 7 weeks into the season, I just don't see how they are going to rush him back. Now, this team does have Russell Gage, so he will have an increased role while Godwin is out. So that's sort of like a wide receiver handcuff situation here, which you don't see all that often. But in addition to Godwin, they also have Michael Gallup, who is also going to miss time probably early this season. That's a scary sort of combination of news events here.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like, I know they have, Fantasy Pros has him at wide receiver 51 for Gallup. I mean, I kind of like him better, much better than that. I mean, I think with Amari Cooper leaving, you know, it's like over 100 targets that just walked out the door. I know like targets lost or whatever. Mm-hmm. People kind of rage about that.
Yeah.
As like not really being like, just, you can't just take one and give it to the other. I understand that. I'm not like that much of a simpleton, but I'm not saying I'm a genius, but like, obviously like, I don't think the offense is going to change much. They may actually throw more because you're not relying on Ezekiel Elliott as much as you possibly can. And I guess it comes down to kind of his injury return. I totally forgot that he actually was going to miss time in the beginning. So.
Yeah, I just read that they're expecting at least one or two games missed for him. So wide receiver 51 could be pessimistic for what he ends up being, but it's still a concern.
Yeah. It definitely is a concern. It's definitely not a position that you can really feel great about. They only need to start one, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes. 1-4.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to go about it. I mean, really, if this was like a two running back, I think that would really hurt this league, like in terms of like balance. So I like that it's just kind of one everywhere. You still can kind of go a different route if you want to, which I'm sure we'll see. So definitely interesting. I don't know about the Chris Godwin thing. Like, I feel like, and this is not the NBA where you can, you know, lose 40 games and, you know, still make the playoffs. And like, do well, you know. It's like game kind of counts.
There's one team with Tom Brady. I mean, they certainly have the ability to go on the road and win playoff games. It's just not a team.
Saints, and you don't know. Like, obviously, the division's kind of theirs, right? But you never know. You never know.
How about IDP here? We have it ranked 10th. Anything that stands out?
Yeah, another one. They kind of, you know, they got Harold Landry there. Not really much at safety either. I mean, it's so tough to get a good safety group, and I don't know if it matters too much in this format. I think maybe it's on a spot that it's really hard to find a really good safety because the top five safeties, we'll talk about them, I'm sure, like Jeremy Chin, Jamal Adams, Derwin James, you know, that kind of echelon of guys is, you know, they're going to be in the top. You know they're gonna be safety ones, Buda Baker. You know they're gonna be a safety one, and then basically like number 10 to 30 is could be anybody. So there's kind of two ways to approach it there. I mean, I kind of want to have someone I feel reliable on. Otherwise, you're really like throwing darts. So I don't really think Adrian Amos gives you too much there. Maybe a safety is one of the spots in a league like this that I'm really looking at. You know, they picked up Aiden Hutchinson 305. I think that's probably maybe a little bit early even in this setup. I know he's probably going to be the best IDP this year out of this group. Maybe even, you know, from this entire class. That's hard to say, but has a really high floor. So I kind of like that part of it for a league like this. You're getting something reliable, but I just don't know. Again, like even the third round, I think there's like players that I'm still kind of trying to hit the offensive side. Even seeing like Nimi Hines going 405. I mean, that's a player that potentially is going to have legit like flex appeal.
He's a little hurt by the standard scoring. Also worth mentioning, Nick Bosa was traded from this roster. This team traded away Nick Bosa to move up three picks. They did get Drake London.
Yeah, love that.
That was the London pick there. So they used that stud at IDP, which makes sense if you're going to be one of the lesser offensive teams. Mm-hmm. Kind of don't need that IDP yet.
Yeah, that one. And I like the pick too.
4.17 is the team score here. Helmet Sticker, bleep them picks. This team has the least draft capital moving forward. We didn't really mention it, but yeah, they don't have their 23 first rounder. That was traded, so they are dead last in future draft capital. And they also get the MBC, Mr. Bad Core, worst rated wide receiver position. Number 10, One-Eyed Pugs. So this is one of the new managers and already making a splash with a bunch of trades. This team traded, I believe they traded Gibson away, or did they? No, they traded for Gibson. They gave up a round two pick this year for Antonio Gibson, and another trade here. They traded for DeAndre Hopkins. This is after the suspension, by the way. What do you think about this one, Adam? They traded for DeAndre Hopkins, who's already going to be out for 6 weeks of the season. He is 30 this year, if I remember correctly. And they get back a 20. I'm sorry, they sent off a 24 first rounder.
So, love the first one that we didn't talk about, but you know, the Bateman for all the package.
Yep, they traded away Bateman.
Love the Gibson for a round two. I think that's awesome. I think, you know, poised to be kind of possibly knocking on the RB1 door. You know, obviously the offense is going to be amazing. Isn't going to be amazing, but you never know. This one, though, the Hopkins, no. don't like that. I know it's a single first. You're getting a stud, but, like, he's, like you said, 30, suspension, like, not the same player, not PPR. I mean, he's someone who, you know, they're going to throw to 10 times a game for sure, or he'd, like, set Matt on the sideline. Doesn't really have that appeal there. So, yeah, I don't really like that one. Kind of redoing the wide receiver core, but if you're a new owner and you're trying to make a splash and you're trying to rebuild your wide receivers to kind of build around for the future, DeAndre Hopkins is not the one you want to do it around.
Yeah, and I was
going to using the future of capital.
I was going to say, as someone who has had multiple people come into my home league, and sometimes you do see the situation where maybe it's their first dynasty league, they're still trying to get the swing of things. I've seen people make trades that look very win now-ish with a roster that isn't very win now-ish. And that could be, I mean, even if you like, in theory, the Gibson trade or even trading away Rashad Bateman, you know, those are both moves that make this team less formidable 2 or 3 years from now, potentially. So I don't know. This team is ranked 8th in total redraft value, 10th in starter redraft value. It could be a playoff team. I mean, I think that's the good news. If they can get some guys who hit this season, they really need James Conner to not regress after scoring 18 touchdowns last year. They really need James Conner to be that guy, along with Gibson. But yeah, wide receiver, maybe Sutton can hit with Russell Wilson. Maybe Cooks will, you know, there's no reason to think Cooks won't be successful with Davis Mills again this season. And then they do get DeAndre Hopkins back after week 6. It could be a frisky team in the playoffs, but that requires a lot going right here.
Yeah, a lot of Arizona players are kind of like stacking up that offense, which, you know, I don't think is terrible. It's a really good offense. Kyler Murray gets a new deal, you know, all this stuff. So, you know, it could be a really good offense, but you're really banking on that to like hit in a lot of ways. And you know, Cortland Sutton, I think, is a good non-PPR wide receiver. I think he kind of wins different ways than Jerry Jeudy does, and can be that deep shot, you know, big guy going fast.
Yeah, and we'll see how that. I mean, that whole offense has a lot to be determined, I think. There's a lot with Russell Wilson now. You know, going from like Drew Locke. It's funny that it's the Broncos, right? Because they went from Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning, and then all of a sudden, what's his name? Demaryius Thomas, he went off. Like, he went crazy that first year with Peyton Manning. It's funny that it's the Broncos again, because going from Drew Locke to Russell Wilson, it's not quite as extreme as Tebow to Manning, but it's kind of close.
Yeah, I think that's good. It's about the same. Yeah, especially like kind of like post neck surgery, you know, duck throwing Peyton Manning. Yeah,
well, that first year he was unbelievable. He was so good. How about IDP on this squad? Yeah. What are you seeing?
So kind of like I said before, like, you know, if you can kind of do the stud approach, I think that's valuable. Obviously, it all comes down to what you paid. Again, like, this, you know, is a new owner, like you said. So, you know, isn't really hurting their pocket strings. You'd have to go back and kind of see how they got here. But to have Aaron Donald, Chase Young, Roquan Smith as sort of your main group, I think is really nice there. You know, depth is kind of okay. We have them just ranked overall as the number 4 IDP group. Safety is kind of a concern, but you can find safeties pretty, again, like I said, like that middle group is so many guys there that you're able to kind of find guys in the waiver wire. And, you know, Jalen Thompson, just like somebody who fantasy was safety 23, but, you know, could be like 15 one week and 12 one week and then 47 one week, you know, so you're able to kind of put that together to get that one starter out there. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you do get someone knocking for an IDP, like, buy, they're out the door immediately. You know, and like we saw with the other team, like, if you're able to move up 3 picks on the offensive side for someone like Aaron Donald, Chase Young, you know, someone like that, like we saw Nick Bosa go for, I'm taking that all day. That's a huge value swing there, and it's easily replaceable.
I think this manager is trying to win right now with the oldest team in the league, by the way. 28.1 is the average starter age here, which means they do get the "when you are old and gray" sticker.
Since since I still appreciate you. Let's find love while we may, because I know I'll hate you when you are old and gray.
Yeah, can you explain that one to me?
What's there to explain? It's when you are old and gray and they're an old team. That was an old, this guy has an album of all these, like, he's kind of like a humorist from the early days. So that's what they did. I don't know. I thought it was funny. 4.5 is the team score. Number 9, San Antonio Maulers. Man, you asked that like you had a grudge against that sticker.
That's one of the, there's a couple that I'm like, where did this come from?
I like going off the grid a little. Come on.
For sure.
From the West Division here, the San Antonio Maulers. This is the other new manager. Much quieter in the offseason, making a move that, Adam, I think you're going to like, trading away Tyrann Mathieu and getting a round 3 pick out of it. Nothing major, but it's a round 3 pick, so there you go. They took Tyrion Davis-Price, I believe, in round 3 there. So... it's something. They add a running back to the roster. Otherwise, number 9 in total redraft value, number 8 in starter redraft value. They do still lose dynasty value here. Unfortunately, Mike Evans and Tom Brady, the stack, both lose dynasty value. Brady actually isn't even the starter here. Jalen Hurts is the projected quarterback starter, making this the number 2 quarterback group in the league. It's not super flex, so... I don't know. Doesn't have quite the same pizzazz as Superflex, but still, I guess it's nice being number 2. The problem here, other than running back, the team is actually kind of good. The problem is at running back, where they are dead last in value with Miles Sanders, Rashad Penny, Kenneth Gainwell. They picked up Brian Robinson in round 2. They did not have a first-round selection here. Can this running back group do it? I mean, they would be a playoff team if that running back group could be half, like, in the middle of the league.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying on our shows that Miles Sanders is, like, pretty underrated at RB27. I think, like, that's crazy, man. That's craziness.
Well, yeah, and it's he's a prime positive regression candidate after getting zero touchdowns last year.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that's fine. Like, okay, whatever. But the rest of it is, like... I want nothing to do with Rashad Penny on any team. There's no trust there at all, especially with the Kenneth Walker pick. And honestly, I don't think Chris Carson's on this roster too. I don't think Chris Carson's like gone either. I mean, I think he's going to get plenty of work as well. So,
yeah. If his neck can hold it,
right?
You know,
but this is definitely a rough group. And yeah, I mean, obviously one other. I think even just one other like feeling good, maybe like an RB, even RB2. Like all these guys are ranked RB3s, so an RB2. Would kind of make you a much better group for redraft value. And it's rough too, because I think a lot of our receivers also have kind of like are losing value. You know, Mike Evans, obviously older, Marquise Brown, you know, moving to Arizona is good, but like, is what's the, you know, distribution going to be with all the weapons they have there? And, you know, are they going to need to throw a ton? Is it going to be volume from a fantasy perspective? Obviously from an NFL perspective, they'll be fine, but is there going to be, you know, a reason to throw enough? Is Marquise Brown going to be a big touchdown guy of a non-PPR league? DK Metcalf, you know, losing Russell Wilson, going to Drew Locke or Geno Smith. You know, there's definitely a lot of concerns here. Even like Darren Waller, I mean, losing a ton of targets. I mean, obviously target, you know, machine, but having Devonta Adams come in is going to totally change, you know, his sort of volume. Again, maybe it doesn't really matter as much with the touchdowns, but because he wasn't like a big touchdown guy really, maybe it doesn't matter as much, but there's a lot of bad things that have happened to this team.
Well, my boy Tommy Tremble is here and ready to go should anything happen to Darren Waller this year. I do love Tommy Tremble. I've been hyping Tommy Tremble. I think I have Tommy Tremble in our league that we're in together. And I took Tommy Tremble in my Scott Fish Bowl draft as well. So do you have any thoughts on Tommy Tremble at all?
I know he plays for the Panthers.
Who just got the greatest tight end passer in the world in Baker Mayfield. Yeah, I mean, look.
No, I mean, I actually have a friend who was huge in him and kind of opened my eyes to him last year during the draft process as being one of those like kind of good pass catching tight ends. So, you know, I actually picked him up in a couple spots as well.
Yeah, I wish I was higher on any of these running backs. I guess I'm a little higher on Rashad Penny than you are. I at least will... You know, I don't know what the percentage chance that Rashad Penny stays healthy this year and produces anywhere near his pace towards the end of last year. But I guess there's like some fraction of a percentage that that could happen. So maybe, like, I'm just trying to be optimistic for this team and find a path for them to the playoffs. And I agree with you on Sanders. I think Sanders is a guy who could be a top 20 running back, but this team is going to need probably, you know, at least one top 15 guy and another top 20-ish guy.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't mention, like, they have Calvin Ridley, too, so it's like, that is kind of, that puts a huge, like, dent in, like, your plans for this year, and the future is so unknown, and this is number four starter group, number six overall wide receiver group, just completely removing Calvin Ridley from the equation at all.
Yep.
So, you know, going into next year, I think there's an opportunity there to have a more of a stable group at wide receiver, but right now it is definitely iffy.
Yeah, and as you said, DK has taken a huge value hit with the loss of Russell Wilson. So if they get a quarterback that can get the ball to DK, then yeah, this team could kind of go back to being one of the better wide receiver groups in the league. IDP, we have eighth, so towards the, I don't know, two-thirds of the way through or so. I mean, all the positions seem okay, but...
It comes down to TJ Watt. I mean, TJ Watt is a linebacker versus an edge player. I mean, that is sort of everything, right? I mean, as a linebacker, he's pretty good. As an edge player, he's like the best, one of the best. So that's fine. If he is, then having Jeremy Owusu-Koramoah and Bobby Wagner as your kind of linebackers you're starting is good. Just DeMarcus Lawrence, also good. Safety, kind of whatever. Not as good, but it comes down to TJ Watt, really, for this one.
4.72 is the team score. Helmet Sickers here. The practice is hard for having Kellen Mond on the roster. In the dead zone, worst-rated running back position, number eight, Wolfpack from the West Division. Number four in the West Division. Went 5-9 last year. We didn't talk about, I think this is the same trade. I don't think we talked about it on the other side, but they got Amon-Ra St. Brown. It was their big pickup in a trade. They did give up a round two pick and a round four. They actually... they moved down in the fourth round by eight picks. But the big thing there is giving up the round two pick for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Wide receiver 34 in standard scoring here. He was a high-volume guy for sure. 90 receptions last year, but only 912 yards. I mean, he's one of those guys who just his A-dot, his average depth of target, is not all that deep. Averaged just over 10 yards per reception, which is... you know, it's a volume slot kind of figure there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good value that you're getting. You know, just like a second round is still kind of dart throws. I mean, we're talking like maybe like a 30% chance that, you know, these players are even, you know, like startable.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that's fine. You're getting a player that's like more of a known quantity. Again, a better PPR player, but there's potential there with good volume. You do have Jared Goff, so you get the stack there a little bit. Not that it matters a ton in one quarterback. I don't know. I mean, the team here overall, it's like just Dalvin Cook. Well, that's it. Kind of ends there. I mean, yes. Tyler Allgeier, I don't know if that's how you say it, Allgeier.
I think it's Allgeier, maybe.
Allgeier. At 104, I mean, I have to look at the whole draft, but that seems pretty early from where I've seen him going.
Yeah, I was going to harp on that. I was going to spend about 5 minutes talking about that, I think. That is by far the highest we've seen him go. Maybe we've seen him go in the first, like late first round once or twice. He is a mid second round pick. And I know this is standard scoring, so maybe you'd expect to see him a little bit higher. But I mean, 1.04? Are you kidding? That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah. And he's not saying that the other... Just take away all the wide receivers, which is obviously where I'd go with the pick. But, like, just maybe the other running backs aren't as sure of a – not a sure thing, but maybe all other running backs aren't, like, jumping out as, like, that much better.
Yeah.
I'm not a big James Cook fan. I like Kenneth Walker, but not a big James Cook fan. And then it's, like, kind of like you're talking Isaiah Spiller and Rashad White. But – I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of see you don't have another pick, but if you get trade down, whatever. But like, you got to take like a potential wide receiver one.
Here, and I like right? There's him. A couple guys. Like, what's funny is I think he's undervalued. I do. So I wouldn't be upset if he went early second round. But seeing him at 1.04 is shocking. I just sort of sat there for a while. I needed to collect my thoughts. I didn't know what to do with that information. The roster itself is. It's not great. And the problem here is they lose dynasty value as well. They fall to dead last in dynasty value. Mike Williams, Dalvin Cook both lose double-digit dynasty value. That's not great. They need severe breakout performances from Trevor Lawrence is one. I'm going to throw Dallas Goedert out there as well. I mean, we've been waiting for Dallas Goedert to take that next step, I feel like, for a while. And he did get 830 yards, but only 4 touchdowns. I want to see him step into the elite group. Everyone has been waiting for him to make that leap. They traded Ertz last year. I'm ready. My body is ready.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as an Eagles fan, my body is definitely ready for that. And Mike Williams, too. Like, you need him to have a better season than he did last year. Last year was amazing for Mike Williams' value and really solid for this league because he is sort of their, like, deeper threat. You know, 15.1 yards per catch, which is
and 9 TDs.
Yeah, which is a ridiculously high number. That's like, you know, gadget player numbers who, you know, who have like 6 catches. So that's very high. You need that. You need Scary Terry to be, you know, a force, but they've kind of added so many other similar type players with Jahan Dotson and, you know, that's Carson Wentz. So you never really know what you're going to get, right? So, yeah, I definitely don't see this team as like a major contender. Dalvin Cook to me is very fragile. I'm a player I've completely divested of. Love the player.
Yep.
Love him at FSU. You know, he's amazing when he gets the ball in his hand, but he just has such a hard time getting the soft tissue injuries out of the way. And that is killer because those do reoccur. And not having Alexander Mattison on the team is a major L, I think. So, this one's a little rough for me.
Yeah, for among the handcuff options, Madison is definitely one of the more valuable ones. IDP is actually pretty strong here, number 2 in the league. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, we have the number 2, ranked number 2, so there's definitely potential here. Obviously, it's gonna be in Joey Bosa. Probably in a DL. I think that's kind of how CBS kind of does it. So that's good there. Solid play. And then Derwin James. We have him safety number 1. Him and Von Bell, awesome duo. So you've got, you know, kind of your 3 starters there, and you can kind of patch in Eric Kendricks, who I like a lot. Deion Jones kind of had a bad year last year, but a player I'm constantly like, could be an RB1 anytime, is playing that number of snaps, is on the field all the time. So a pretty solid group, I think, overall. Definitely not super deep, but I think that's fine in a setup like this.
4.98 is the team score. Just the Sun God sticker. When the sun got shining down on me. 4, having Amon-Ra St. Brown as a projected starter. Did a little bit of a deep dive on Spotify and found this one. Let's go to number 7, 2 Gurley's 1 Cup from the East Division. Number 4 in the East Division. Actually went 4-10 last year, but we're expecting some better stuff this season. Number 7 in both total and starter redraft value, which puts them kind of for the first team that I think you can legitimately say has actual playoff hopes. I mean, I've been trying to find playoff positioning for some of these other teams, and it's been a little bit tough. This one, at least they have sort of the outline of what you're kind of looking for. Number 9 in running back value is not great, but the fact that they only have to start 1 and Leonard Fournette is here, he was a top, 5 running back last year. And J.K. Dobbins is back from injury. Travis Etienne is back from injury. Those are high upside young players. I know it's only the number 9 running back group, but I kind of like it a little bit. I think they have a chance to outperform that.
I'm okay. I want to be with you here, but I feel something in my gut is telling me Leonard Fournette is just not
is it back
at the level.
Is it because he's fat now?
It's not because of that. I had no problem with fat legs. Okay, I'm on Eddie Lacy. Let's get some Chinese food, whatever he calls it. I'm all about that. Fine, bro. You do you. He was still pretty okay for a bit while he was chunky monkey. Uh-huh. But It's J.K. Dobbins' injury. It's Travis Etienne. I don't know. This is like question mark for me. Like all the way through, which is fine. I mean, that's a fine way to do it. Like I'm never right. So it's probably a good thing that I'm questioning it. But for me, it's all like redraft players. I'm heavily avoiding if possible and letting other people kind of go for. And you know, future value. I think Dobbins, Etienne, even Patterson. I think there's definitely potential there as sort of dynasty risers. But for like a redraft value, for me, I'm all the way out.
Yeah, Fournette, I don't have a strong opinion about Fournette. And Dobbins, I can at least understand people who are hesitant because it does sound like the injury is still going to limit him. I like Etienne. I definitely like Etienne more in half point perception and PPR because I think that's going to be kind 100%. Of his calling card. But I still think he'll be startable in standard scoring.
I know the Doug Peterson show. pretty well. And it's use as many running backs as possible.
But they don't have any other running. I mean, that's part of the problem for them. Yeah, James Robinson is hurt.
I mean,
he's not going to play. He can't play right now. So they have, I think, Snoop Connor is their backup right now, if I'm not mistaken. It's not a great situation for that running back room. So we shall see. That said, they did pick up Chris Olave at 1.05. This team, the strength of this team is definitely quarterback, where they have Lamar Jackson, who can be somewhat of a hammer card. I know this scoring system is a little bit harsher because they combine passing and running stats. So that probably hurts Lamar a little bit. As opposed to leagues where you get like double value or whatever from rushing stats. So that definitely hurts. But I still think Jackson is going to have so many touchdowns this year. He's going to have to do a lot, especially if you don't like Dobbins. I think a lot of that's going to fall on Lamar.
Yeah, I think they end up passing more than they have. Not saying they actually – it's sort of a misnomer that they ran the ball a lot.
Last year they were forced to pass the ball.
Right. They were kind of middle of the road, actually, in terms of like rush attempts versus everyone else, right? So
it's because running back got hurt.
That's true. So I kind of see that some more of that than like really, because like you really like in an ideal situation, you don't have Lamar Jackson running like a bunch, just because that's it's a business, right? And you want to protect your assets, right?
So yeah, I'm just hoping for the rushing touchdowns from him.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what everyone's kind of hoping for, which is probably going to stay.
Wide receiver's not great here, number 10 in the league, but DJ Moore, Devontae Smith, Tyler Lockett.
I think DJ Moore PPR kind of guy. Devontae Smith kind of PPR kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Lockett and Woods are more deep threats, and I feel like Olave is sort of going to be like they don't really have anyone else.
Yeah.
I don't know, like Michael Thomas, but like I'm not really sure.
Comes back.
Exactly, right? So I think Olave is going to be another sort of PPR guy. I like the pick going one pick after Algier. Algier, whatever. That's fine. I think that's you picking up good value there. A good player, was good in college. So, but again, it was sort of a possession guy. So maybe not kind of hitting the settings correctly, I think a little bit. But I'm surprised at where Robert Woods is fantasy pros value.
I think that's also the injury.
For sure. But like they don't have anyone else like at all. Like obviously I know they have Traylon Burks, but
I think
most rookie wide receivers don't have Ja'Marr Chase seasons every time.
Right, right. Yeah. So I think it's a combination. It's the injury plus the fact that the Titans are not a high volume passing offense anyway, plus the fact they drafted Traylon Burks. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be determined there. That said, I mean, he could easily outperform.
He's definitely someone I draft every year, and it never goes well, except for one time.
Yeah, it's going well that once. 5.13 is the team score here. The agree to disagree sticker, the team the Rate My League staff is most divided on. Wow. Number 6, Marchand.
I like when we're divided because my stuff doesn't go into that. But then when we're divided and then we get that sticker, I'm like, oh, well, okay, it makes sense.
Don't tell him that. Jeez. Wizard of Oz. We're like the guy behind the curtain. Number 6, the Martians, West Division. Number 3 in the West Division. This team actually was pretty successful last year, going 8-6. And in fact, it looks like they had the 10th draft slot. So I'm assuming they came in third place, which is kind of nice if you get money, I guess. The roster itself, again, we're moving up a little bit. Number 6 in both total and starter redraft value. A young team here, 25.1 is the average starter age. Young on both sides of the ball, 25.3 on offense, 24.8 on defense. They do gain some dynasty value thanks to Javonte Williams, Traylon Burks, who they pick up at 1.10. I mean, we've seen some good values. I was peeking ahead. There's a really good value at 1.11 as well. When you get some of these weird, wild, crazy picks, like at 1.04, there's equal and opposite reactions in the draft, and Traylon Burks is one of them. That said, the roster still, there's no hammer card here. When you look at each position, right, on offense, number 6, a quarterback, and that's a little bit of a misnomer because Patrick Mahomes is here, and I guess you can argue he's a hammer card. But outside of that, no top 10 running back with Javonte Williams at running back number 11, Cam Akers at running back 17, and Tyreek Hill's wide receiver 9 now in consensus value, TJ Hockenson tight end 7. There's guys who can step up. I mean, we've seen Hill be wide receiver 1, so it wouldn't be shocking if he can get back there even in Miami now. We're waiting for Javonte Williams to do it. They brought back Melvin Gordon, so that probably limits Javonte Williams' ceiling a little bit. I want to see this team have some studs on the roster outside of Mahomes in this one quarterback league. I want to see the running back step up. I want to see you know, I want to believe in Tyreek Hill. I want Darnell Mooney to do something that makes me think he should be wide receiver 26. I guess I'm a little bit skeptical of this roster outside of Mahomes.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I think that's a good way to put it. Kind of a younger group. I know it's 25 is the offensive age. But you know, you've got some young running backs, and then outside Tyreek Hill, you've got some young-ish wide receivers. I guess Mooney is much older, I think, than people give him credit for. Same with Juju. He's definitely been in the league for a little while. But there's some good youth here, I think, especially at the running back position. So I don't think like it's a make-or-break type year. I think there's some growth to be had, I think, on the wide receiver, on the running backs specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, Javonte Williams, Cam Akers not so much, but Kareem Hunt, they're all kind of like pass-catching backs a little bit, like sort of – you know, guys that are kind of excel with just with the ball in their hands, not necessarily, you know, kind of taking the handoff. So kind of interesting kind of build around those guys. But like I said, they are younger. I really like the Treylon Burks pick we talked about. Jahan Dotson, 210,
mm-hmm.
is really, really good. Like that's crazy. He's going.
He's an early second round pick.
Exactly, for sure. Malik Willis, I don't like that pick. I mean, I know he's a dynamic player, has potential to be, you know, there is a world where Malik Willis, you know, can be a QB1 maybe, you know, that exists where he's like running and passing and that type of thing. Probably unlikely, but that definitely exists. So I understand taking the home run shot there. But in a one quarterback league, like I think that's really way too early.
Especially when you do have Mahomes already. Like if Mahomes gets hurt, the season's you're done. Like it's over.
I don't know. Just I mean going to Tannehill, I don't think it's so bad in a one quarterback league. And then you can get like we saw the Tom Brady team was like ranked 10 in redraft. So like they're gonna be Tom Brady if he's playing well, I mean that's someone you can get for a second or third, right? So I don't know if that's like you're done, but definitely hurts a lot to lose Patrick.
Yeah, it hurt, but it's also this team is lacking studs. And Mahomes, yes. Even if you're trading for
that's a good point.
Like Brady doesn't win you games. Brady just prevents you from losing games at this point most of the time. I mean, I know he was great last year, so Brady maybe isn't the greatest example, but Tannehill, he's not winning you games. Tannehill is just not losing you games if everything's going right. Mahomes is a guy who can win you games. And this team, I guess that's what I'm getting towards, at least at the beginning there. I don't know who's winning this team games. Unless Javonte Williams steps up, unless Tyreek Hill goes back to being that wide receiver one that we saw in Kansas City. Yeah. I don't know. Anything
I like with the depth. The depth's good. The IDP, like we said, like rank six redraft, but the IDP goes down to rank five. So kind of a middle of the pack group here overall. It's really just like Brian Burns, Blake Martinez, Anton Winfield. So studs, not studs, but higher end players. Brian Burns is a stud, but higher end players at the top, and then kind of just depth from there. And I like definitely putting all my depth, if possible, you know, into offense, even if it's at the end of the year and, you know, you're dropping, you know, Nick Bolton's and picking up like Jawan Jennings, I think is it just kind of, I'm just looking at the team like maybe something happens here in the offseason, you know, maybe something goes well and I don't need to carry like the IDP going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of wide receivers on this roster. They have a ton right now. 5.91 is the team score. Let's play the Lookout Kid sticker.
Look out, kid, just your heart. You don't have to play the part.
Youngest projected starting lineup, it is 25.1. You know, one of the things about this league is that there's no outright tanking squad that is just full of rookies and second-year players, and 25.1 is a relatively old youngest team, if that makes any sense. It's still obviously a young team, but we're used to seeing a number of teams that are under 25 and even the occasional team that's under 24. So interesting note there. Number five, Beagles from the East Division, number three in the East, went 10-4 last year, had quite the season. It looks like they got tripped up in the playoffs, however, probably losing that third place game because they had the number nine slot. Unfortunate. But when you look at the roster, it is quite good. Total value, number four in terms of redraft, number two in starter value. So when you see a combination of metrics like that, the two things sort of jump out at me. First of all, I'm looking for issues with the bench, which I do think we have a little bit of here. When you're talking about Jameis Winston as the primary backup quarterback and Isaiah Spiller as the primary backup running back, and I suppose Tyler Boyd is the primary backup wide receiver, this and Logan Thomas at tight end, there's just not a lot on the bench. They're using up their starter slots to where all of the value on the team is. But that's, you know, if this team stays healthy, whenever you see a team like this, you always have to say, if they stay healthy, when they get to the playoffs, assuming they get to the playoffs, they can match up with any other team in the league.
Why do they have so many quarterbacks? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know. And certainly Deshaun Watson and Justin Herbert long term would be the duo. You can trade. I don't know how you can trade Watson at this point, and it depends on your league.
We see it. We see people.
It just depends on your league. It really does.
That's true. I agree with you there. There's not a ton of depth here. There's some. I mean, interesting. Like even running back. Like I don't have a problem with Trey Sermon. I don't have a problem with Zach Moss. I mean, obviously they're not. I mean, if you're down that far as the non-flex players, you're screwed, right? But you know, if you need a flex start from Zach Moss, I think you could probably get it. I think honestly, like I think with the James Cook drafting, people kind of just like threw him under the bus and that's it. But I still feel like he's going to work in as sort of a committee there. So there's some potential there. The Isaiah Spiller pick at 209 is just kind of crazy to me. I want to see where like Rashad White went and some of these other running backs, because if Tyler Allgeier is going 104 and then Isaiah Spiller goes 209, something is wrong there, because normally we've been seeing him like kind of in the end of the first in like the standard leagues and sort of the top of the second. So
yeah,
to see him at the end of the second is actually kind of weird in a league like this.
And
so I think that's good value there.
And works out kind of perfectly here because they have Austin Ekeler on the roster. Wide receiver can be quite good as well. Number four wide receiver with Debo and Michael Pittman. Now, the problem here is that they really need Michael Thomas to be healthy and playing, because as we talked about, the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I like Rondell Moore actually as one player, especially with Hopkins missing time. I think he's kind of another player that kind of people just kind of forgotten about. It has some serious potential. Obviously, maybe more of like a PPR gadget type guy, but I think has some potential. And then the Christian Watson pick 109 is maybe a little early, but that's sort of where he's been going.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he could work in too, just if he does kind of click, right? So there's definitely potential there. I'm not a big Debo guy. I'm not a big Pittman guy at wide receiver 13. I mean, I don't know how that happened or where that happened or why.
Yeah, so I've been talking about that with Derek on some of these other shows. I was telling Derek that if we ever did a podcast at the beginning of the year before I look at any of the rankings, I don't know if you listen to Bill Simmons, but he does a Guess the Lines podcast where he'll guess like the NFL lines each week. I would have loved to have done a Guess the Rankings podcast. I thought that would have been a lot of fun before I had seen any of them. I would have been dead wrong on Pittman. I would have been like wide receiver 20 on Pittman, and he ended up as wide receiver 13. I will say there's a lot of sharp fantasy football minds that really like Pittman. I know that Evan Silva put Pittman at one point as his wide receiver 8. So there is a Michael Pittman contingent out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some love out there, for sure. There's like just, hey, he's gonna be Matt Ryan's Julio. Like, I don't think that's gonna happen. Then again, they don't really have a lot of other people, so there is definitely like, so you gotta throw the ball at somebody at some point. So there's definitely that there. You know, the IDP here, we have them ranked dead last, yeah, so it's not gonna be helping them a lot. They picked up Kayvon Thibodeau 409, so I think that's a really good value. I mean, considering where Aiden Hutchinson goes, pretty much a whole round ahead. I'll see where some of the other edge guys win as well, kind of to judge that. But I think Thibodeau has maybe the highest ceiling of the edge guys in this class. So potential there to kind of get a starter, which is good. I like DeMarvin Davis as a starter. I think it's fine to go about it this way, because you can find these guys on the waiver wire. Picking up Sauce Gardner at 309, not a fan of any corner. They'd have to score really high in a setup like this to not want a safety. But again, people think rookies and all this thing about them getting targeted more. Not really. Especially if they're good, that doesn't matter. So, yeah, but definitely dead last. I don't think it's really going to hurt this team. I think it's definitely, you know, doesn't, I think a lot of times IDP gives you a good floor because you know, you're getting something out of, you know, a Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa's, you know, Hunter's, you know, Blake Martinez's, like the top guys, you know, you're getting something out of them. So it gives you a kind of a little bit of a floor. But if you don't have that at all, you know, you're really not getting that. So I think there is something to be said there, but I think you can find that on the waiver wire.
6.4 is the team score here. Helmet Sicker, the tough crowd. This is our lowest rated team versus consensus. The Large Hadron Collider. Hadron. I haven't had to say it in a while for the lowest rated IDP group, but we'll play this one. The freshman sticker. For the life of me, I cannot believe. Because they are tied for having the most projected rookie starters, which I don't know if that's IDP. Might be IDP. Anyway, number four, Dezed and Confused. Because Sauce Gardner is a projected starter. I guess that's the one. Anyway, Dezed and Confused, number four here. This is the number two team out of the East Division. Also involved in that Rashad Bateman trade. This was the other side of that deal. So they picked up Rashad. I like it. I'm a big Rashad guy. I know that the Ravens aren't supposed to be a passing team, even though they were last year. I think it's one of those situations where if they had their druthers, they wouldn't be a passing team. That said, they still are going to have to pass the ball a little bit. And other than Mark Andrews, it's pretty much Rashad Bateman's show. The rest of that wide receiver room right now is dreadful. So I like the idea of acquiring Rashad Bateman here. If nothing else, I think his value is bound to go up, and he's a 23-year-old wide receiver. So I don't mind that one. And that said, it's still the number 5 total and start a redraft team. The reason that they do move up in the rankings a little bit is because of this number 3 dynasty value ranking. They picked up Kenneth Walker at 1.03. He becomes a big dynasty gainer, Jalen Waddle. And then they also picked up Garrett Wilson. So I think the first team we've seen that had multiple first-round picks, at least multiple early first-round picks, getting Kenneth Walker at 3 and Garrett Wilson at 6. That's a nice little bonanza.
I'm surprised that Melvin Gordon's ranked higher than Kenneth Walker. I mean, I think especially taking someone like that at 103, like, seems like it's baked in that he's the head guy, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been a little surprised at how tepid the Kenneth Walker response has been. People are still hanging on to that, like, last 6 or 7 weeks
of Rashad. Right, it's not going to be a good offense. Like,
and that's the other thing. Yeah, it's not a good offense. Yeah,
they're not going to be in low scoring position that often, right?
And the idea, I think, is with Denver now, with Russell Wilson, even if Javonte Williams is getting even more of a workload than he got last year, there's still going to be a lot of offense for Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know it's a little bit PPR-ish, but I really like Keenan Allen, the wide receiver group, Keenan Allen, Jalen Waddle, Amari Cooper. I'm not out on Amari Cooper. I think even, you know, with kind of like a hodgepodge of quarterback, not really sure who his quarterback is going to be, but, you know, it's a bit of a hodgepodge there. I think I like Cooper. I like Cooper going forward. I think there's some potential there. And then Jalen Waddle in a format like this, I think is who can actually – he can really be a bit of a stud potential there. If it comes together. I started reading George Kittle, and I said, Kittle.
He's Kittle definitely too, got to improve on the touchdown. I mean, that would be huge for him if he can be a little bit more of a red zone.
Yeah, I mean, threat. I don't know. Touchdowns are weird. That's one of the arguments, I think, also for PPR or half PPR is, like, you're not so reliant on the fluky thing we call touchdowns. And, again, like, you got to score touchdowns to win the game. But, like, you know, so, like, I don't know. Like, it's not 1984 anymore, right? But, you know, I think there's more arguments to be said about that a little bit. You know, he had 140 freaking targets last year. That blows me away. I didn't realize it was that high.
Yep. But 104 catches. Right. He's got to be a better – I mean, for this scoring, he's got to be a better red zone threat. And he can be. Just because he's a smaller wide receiver, I mean, we've certainly seen small, like, slotty type of wide receivers who can succeed in the red zone. They can be really deadly in there.
Extremely.
So I think that's the next step for Waddle. I don't see why he can't be. And it's not like Tyreek Hill has been, you know, a great red zone target.
Well, he gets all the attention, right?
Sure.
Like, that's, I think, because he's Tyreek Hill, right? So it's like you need to give him two people. You need to be with him at all times. And that opens up the rest of the offense. And I think that's kind of what also helped make Patrick Mahomes in that offense so prolific is because they're able to, you know, somebody has to be open. Somebody has to be one-on-one coverage, whether it's Kittle or Tyreek Hill, right? So there's opportunities to just go crazy. So hopefully that translates into Jalen Waddle, maybe even Mike Gesicki kind of having like a bit of a resurgence. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of Waddle this year. And Amari Cooper, too, like I said. Like, even I knew it's Jacoby Brissett to start out, but I think there's some good potential there. They're going to have to throw to somebody. They've got a good running game. I think you can kind of complement that with, you know, a pretty play action, stuff like that, into Amari Cooper.
Well, it's nice. Whoever the quarterback is, it would be nice if, you know, as opposed to Baker, someone who actually throws to wide receivers will be a nice change of pace there. This team, tight end is quite good. Number 2 in the league at tight end. Kittle and Schultz are both here. And Schultz could be a flex play at times for this team as well. So, you know, playoffs hopeful, sure. 8-6 last year. I don't know if they can build on that. I guess certainly Saquon holds a lot of the cards, I think, for whether they can do better than 8-6. I will say this team has a lot of my guys in my home league, so I'm rooting them because if they do well, I'm probably doing well too.
I'll take any bet that Saquon Barkley is an RB1. I mean, like that. I mean, they've definitely done things to improve the offense. You know, it is not going to be exactly
the same. Yeah, the line is supposed to be, everything I've read is the line should be like at least league average,
would be amazing compared to what it was last year, right? So
compared to Saquon's entire career, it would be amazing,
right? So when he first started out, they had some good players that they kind of let slide. But anyway, IDP here, we have them ranked number 7. So kind of middle of the road, but to just kind of, they really just went in on the linebackers with Devin White, Michael Parsons, Patrick Queen. In a league setup like this, like, I think that's fine. Maybe Michael Parsons, maybe if you really like talk to your commission, do it, can get like kind of edge DL stuff, because he does play that a lot of the times. But you can find a one edge guy, one DL, to kind of fill that spot pretty easily.
6.59 is the team score. Just the tumbleweed sticker for having no other stickers. So sad. Number 3, waiver wire warriors. Another team that went 8-6 last year. This is the Christian McCaffrey team. The fact that they went 8-6 with McCaffrey only playing 7 games last year is probably a pretty good sign. They get a bounce in value from Russell Wilson. And I guess the negative here is, I don't know if negative is the right word, but anytime I see a Cooper Kupp team, I always ask the question, Adam, if Cooper Kupp is like really good this year and is a top 5 wide receiver, but not an all-time great wide receiver this season, does this team still have the ability to win a title or go 8-6 or be that threat? Do they need Cooper Kupp to be like far and away the number 1 wide receiver?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if you closed your eyes and you did like the what is it called? Hyperfragile running back is the one where you take one good one and then you don't
the hero running back.
Mm-hmm. There's this team, you know, because it's got Christian McCaffrey and then really good wide receivers all the way through. I mean, Allen Robinson in LA, I think going to be amazing. I think he's going to be so good. Maybe it takes him Cooper Kupp a little bit, but
right,
again, like, to answer your question, I don't. For a non-PPR league, I don't think it's going to matter as much.
And that's the one thing with Kupp that is actually okay here. The fact that they have Robinson, one of the reasons that Kupp might be a little worse is if Allen Robinson cuts into some of his production. But here, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know like what is going to – like is that the thing that is going to hurt Cooper Kupp?
Well, I mean, I think like, there's like a natural – you know.
Right, but it's not like defenses kind of didn't know he was coming at, you know, by the end of the year, right? I mean, he was absolutely destroying people all the way through the season, right?
Yeah. So, oh, he was great.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, obviously, yes, there's natural regression to the mean, of course. I think he's definitely a big candidate for that. Maybe he's not receiver 1, but if he's 5, I think you're still doing really well.
Yeah, and Christian McCaffrey can certainly make up for some of that as well if he can just stay healthy.
A little fragile, you know, with Zeke, and Dylan is not really the starter at all. Picked up James Cook, 108. I think that's actually really good value in a non-PPR league.
Well, especially after seeing Algier go at 1.04.
Yeah, I kind of assumed in my head that Cook was like maybe like 5 or 6, right? Because
yeah.
I know we've seen those picks, but like that's kind of where I've seen him going. I like his game. I'm not a fan of the spot. I think it's just going to be messy.
This is, I mean, on paper, this is a really nice squad. Number 2 in total redraft value, number 3 in starter value. Can IDP hold them back, or is it going to help them win?
It's a 1 IDP group, so definitely going to help. And like I said, like, gives you a really high floor when you have, you know, such an absolute stud group. Number 1 safety group by far with Jeremy Chinn, Buda Baker, Jesse Bates. Like, that's going to be probably the best group that we see. Really, really good edge players with, you know, Hunter, Cameron Jordan. You know, they picked up Trayvon Walker, 308. He was the number 1 pick in the draft, right? So obviously there's some good, he's seemed to be good by the league, but only takes that one team really to make that pick. So with in Hutchinson 4 picks before, Kayvon Thibodeau going about a round later, you know, I kind of want Kayvon Thibodeau for the value there. But again, like, we're talking third round, so can be rough. So this is going to give you a really, really high floor on your team week to week, with potential for the IDP to help you a lot, but gives you a nice floor for the rest of the team, the running backs maybe, to kind of like not bring you down, or the wide receivers to kind of buoy them for a bad week. So I think it's a really, really good group here. Obviously, we have the number 3, number 2 redraft. So, you know, I think that so far this is like maybe definitely the best redraft team we've seen, but the running backs just kind of scare me.
Yeah, for sure. The one real bugaboo, the reason they're ranked 3rd as opposed to being higher, they do fall to number 5 in dynasty value. It's a little bit of an older squad here. Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Zeke all losing pretty big dynasty value. 7.1 is the team score. Helmet stickers, the Rod Tidwell Award, top rated. Oh, you know what? I'll play that one. But it was first Steel Curtain, highest rated IDP. But I'll play the Rod Tidwell Award.
Show me the money! Jared, you better yell! Show me the money!
4, having the number 1 wide receiver group in the league. Number 2, Gridiron Gumbies. The Gridiron Gumbies. I believe this team did come in second place last year. 10-4. Pretty nice season all around. The redraft situation has fallen off, I think, a little bit maybe compared to last year, just slightly. You know, Aaron Jones has lost a little bit of value. Alvin Kamara's lost some value because of the potential for a suspension. It'll be interesting to see if that moves back up. With the, I think, the latest news, which is basically the suspension is probably off for a year. But it's now the number 3 total redraft team, number 4 in starter value. I guess the good news is Justin Jefferson, Josh Allen, Kyle Pitts. I don't know if they need much else. and obviously Devontae Adams as well.
I'll see. We haven't had this one yet. I don't think Kyle Pitts is going to be much. As high as people think he's going to be.
Well,
I guess tight end, so it's rough, but like I'd rather Dalton Schultz.
He's another one of these guys in standard scoring, in a scoring system like this, where touchdowns are going to play a big role, and he was not a big touchdown threat last year.
How many touchdowns are they even projected for? I mean, it's just going to be, for my thing, there's a lot of players, and it's not going to be great offense. They're not going to be, their defense is absolute atrocious. They're not going to be in scoring positions. They're not going to have good field position. That to a point where, I mean, he had issues with touchdowns last year, right? That was his big thing.
He had one touchdown last year.
I mean, he's definitely going to have more than that. I will say that confidently. But Darnell Schultz is T6 fantasy pros in this league. I'd rather have him 10 out of 10 in a redraft setup. But definitely really nice dynasty value. Is going to have, he's going to play for 10 years, right? He has a huge career, so that's not going to hurt too much. This team, I was reading through the running backs, and I'm like, players. It's a lot of players I'm not like super into, like Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara this year. But then, kind of the depth for me is guys I do like with Harris and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I really feel like I've flipped completely with everyone on CH. I feel like this is like the year versus his rookie year, where everyone was down on it and it didn't happen. I kind of feel like the shoe's on the other foot now.
Well, at least the value is not absurd. Like if you're buying into Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
that's me. That's how I play the game. I mean, I'm like, hey, everyone else, I'm zagging when everyone's zigging. I guess people are throwing him to the curb. I'm like, now's the time. Like this is the value.
The good thing here is we don't have to talk about Gabe Davis because he's not a projected starter. He's a little bit of a lightning rod this offseason. I will say I love Christian Kirk. I'm a big Christian Kirk guy. I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like him more in PPR than standard because I think because of the contract, they're just going to force feed him the ball. I just see him as being a high volume guy, but I think he can be a weak starter in this setup as well.
Something tells me the math doesn't follow that like myth, but, I'm down for it.
The other thing is he's been good. Like I think people disregard 100%. How like actually decent he's been as a player. Mm-hmm. So like I still believe in his talent. He's been a top 20-ish player for the last couple of years, and it's just he just moves to the Jaguars and he gets dumped to wide receiver 40.
I'm sure there's a fun like stat head or PFR for him. That's like player has been as good as him when he's playing like over the last whatever first 6 years of their career, whatever.
Yes, I think even Pro Football Focus would put him as like a top 20-25 player.
I'm gonna go do that after this and see kind of where he stacks up.
Anything else with IDP here you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, not as good as the last team. Obviously, we have the rank number 3. So, when you're rolling out Jamal Adams, Myles Garrett, you definitely have a really good start in a kind of a shallower league. I think they've probably got too many players. I don't think you need as many. And rostering people like Denzel Perryman, Kazir White, maybe before the Devin Lloyd pick if he doesn't pan out. But kind of rostering these guys is really not a big point to it. Odafe away, there's definitely some potential there as a starter. They don't have a ton of guys, so maybe it's good to keep some guys. But, having the 3 safeties, maybe like 4-3 other guys, and that's plenty.
Alrighty, team score here, 7.42. Helmet sticker, the Jason Street Award.
You're good, man. You're what makes guys like me want to coach.
Did we mention what?
Josh this is a good Allen one. That's a good sticker, though. I love that sticker. Anyway, the Damon Pierce, 107 pick.
That's a bit high. Although, again, he's projected to be probably the 200 carry guy for the Texans, so I guess there's some value there. Especially for a team that I think is more of a contender. It's not a good pick. I'm not saying it's a good pick. And the fact that they got Jameson Williams at 1.11 is kind of hilarious. Also, Josh Allen is here. I guess we should at least acknowledge the number 1 quarterback in fantasy football. Number 1, the one who knocks from the West Division, number 1 team in the West here. This team was involved in a couple trades. In fact, 2 of the trades, I like both of them, I think. I mean, the Gibson one is a little bit more dealer's choice, I suppose. Depends how you feel about Gibson. I think it was either the 2.02 pick, which ended up being George Pickens, or the 2.03 pick,
either way,
which ended up being Rashad White. And I kind of like Rashad White as well. I thought that was a nice value for him, considering that we saw Pierce go at 7 and Algier go at 4. The fact that Rashad White went at 2.03 yeah. is nutty.
I think that's really good value, like really, really good value, because, you know, he has, not in PPR league, but still, you know, it could be a good offense, and they're going to need maybe some pass catchers, at least to start with Chris Godwin out. So I think he kind of gets a lot of opportunity early, which is great for any running back. I'd rather have Antonio Gibson, though, than either one of those players. And I like George Pickens as a player. I just, you know, I think that's really early, even in a league like this for him.
Well, the good news here is it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because they don't need Gibson. They don't need White. They don't need anyone. They have the number one running backs with Taylor, Henry, and Chubb. And I sort of bypassed it, but, you know, they traded away Hopkins for a 24 first rounder, which is insanely good value. That is a really nice trade here. So this team is also number one in future draft capital. They're number one in total redraft value. They're number one in starter redraft value. They're number one in future draft capital. They're number one in dynasty value. They are almost across the board just the high watermark for this league.
Yeah, three firsts going into next year. I guess just two for next year. But that's still going to be really nice for a team like this. Plus, they have a really good pick from Brigham Blitz.
Yeah, Birmingham Blitz there. That's, yeah, they have their first rounder, which is projected to be, what, number two?
Two, something like that. Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, again, they have like the – we talked about Alexander Mattison. We talked about Tony Pollard a little bit. But it's like you've got potential – you know, these are the guys you're filling out your redraft, you know, roster with, and everyone's kind of dying to get these guys because the potential of them being starters is so high. You know, you're able to get a really good player for a really good value. And then, you know, to have Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, the same is okay. Deontay Johnson, I'm not the biggest fan of him, especially non-PPR. Jerry Jeudy kind of falls in that too, but still a really, really good player. Is going to have a ton of volume with Russell Wilson. Elijah Moore and Sky Moore kind of coming in as the depth guys. Really nice there. I love the Sky Moore pick, 112. So much potential there to be with Pat Mahomes. So obviously a really, really good team here.
Yeah, this is amazing. And also Travis Kelce. Oh, by the way, Travis Kelce at tight end. Obviously, IDP will hold them back. They won't win again because of this IDP group. Number 11. No way they can overcome that, right?
Oh, man. I don't think so.
I think
it's this fickle game is too fickle.
It's not a good IDP group, but I'm don't know if it's going to matter all that much. Did not matter last year.
I don't think it matters much. I mean, there's definitely some stuff here. I mean, Justin sort of – Jefferson is really good, so that definitely helps. And CJ Mosley, maybe there's something there. But, yeah, I mean, you're able to kind of fill this in whenever at any time.
Yeah, not too worried about that. Anything else you want to talk – I feel like we kind of went fast there for this team, but I just don't know if there's much to talk about. This team is dominant.
I don't know on the mat. Like I think it is rare. It doesn't happen a lot that a quarterback – sustains two, you know, wide receiver ones. I think that is pretty rare. I think it only has happened like X number of times. Like there's a finite number to it.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. But like it's not like, oh, it happens all the time. It's super easy. I think it's pretty rare to have two wide receiver ones specifically. I think it's like, you know, five times in the last like, you know, 10 years or whatever. So you know, I think that's maybe something that hurts it a little bit, kind of having both those guys as your main grouping. And then Deontay Johnson, you know, getting a rookie wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, PPR guy, but I think the volume's there too. So that's that. I think running back, there's nothing you can say. I mean, right, there's nothing you can say. Running back, quarterback, nothing you can say, really. Maybe that's the only spot, you know, tight end's not, I mean, after Travis Kelce, like, who cares, right? So yeah.
And the fact that they are number one in future draft capital, right. It's just such a slam dunk of a franchise here. 9.24 is the team score. The Helmet Sickers, the Dragon Sicker, most draft capital, the Al Bundy Award, top-rated running back position, the Brian Murphy Award, top-rated tight end position. But we'll play this one, the Nightmare Award.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
There you go, because they are a nightmare for the rest of the league. We did it. We counted down 12-1. Thank you to Golden Empire. Thank you to Rob for setting this all up. You can follow me on Twitter at RateMyLeague. Adam, where can we follow you?
At AdamTZ.
All right, there you go. Have a great season. Good luck this year. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again in the future. Adios.